Good to see everybody here tonight. I understand we had some microphone problems this morning, and I can hear it sounds pretty normal right now, and that's a good thing. Tonight I want to talk to you about something that's a rather volatile and sensitive issue, but it's an important issue for all of us, and especially for our young people. It's good for them to think about these things and study about these things from God's Word before they get out on their own and decide to possibly do some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about body piercing and tattooing. And I know it's a very volatile issue. Believe me, just read some of my email. You'll find out about it. And I'm not here, I don't know if any present here tonight have tattoos or body piercings anywhere. And that's really not what my concern is tonight. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and we can all be saved. And I'll make that point at the end of the lesson tonight. But my main purpose here tonight is to talk to the young people, and all of us will learn something as we review some of the basic principles tonight of making such decisions, whether or not these behaviors are godly or ungodly, if they're lawful or if they are unlawful. First of all, I want to go to the Old Testament, and I want us to learn from the Old Testament under the Mosaic Law, and even previous to that, what the situation was with nose rings and earrings and with tattoos. And I've got a few scriptures for you up here because of our time. Some of these from the Old Testament I just put up on the PowerPoint tonight. From Genesis 24 and verse 47, here is Abraham's servant who selected Rachel to be Isaac's wife. So then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists." Also, we see as the children of Israel came out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 2. And here is when they were collecting gold to make the golden calf. Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters." And so, in this culture, even the men would wear earrings. In Exodus chapter 35 and verse 22, here we see about the gifts which were given to build the tabernacle. "Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord." And one more. That is Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. This is the Mosaic Law. When a Hebrew had one of his brethren as a slave, and after serving 7 years, his ear was to be pierced with an awl, pierced through and pierced into the door. That's Deuteronomy 15, 16 through 17. So we see from the Old Testament, as we may say, tasteful adornments of earrings and nose rings were permitted by God. But let's also look at the Old Testament, what the situation was with tattoos. Tattoos were not permitted. In Leviticus 19 and verse 28, "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." In the Old Testament, tattoo and marking on the body, these marks can be done by cuts and burns and scars. They were not permitted. The roots of tattooing is in paganism. And it goes back to demonism, Baal worship, shamanism, mysticism, heathenism, cannibalism, and other things such as that. Today, tattooing still has its roots in paganism, in Satanism, and reeks of those types of things. Even the cross tattoo that I'll talk about in just a few minutes has its roots in paganism and satanic things. As a matter of fact, just recently in the 20th century is the first time that anyone or any group of people professing to be Christians or God's people ever thought that tattooing was appropriate for Bible-believing individuals. And this has marked a great sea change in churches throughout the world. Well, let's talk about now the New Testament principles by which we would make a decision is tattooing and body piercing a lawful thing to do? Well, you know, these principles, many of which we will talk about tonight, these are the principles we use to determine whether many things are lawful or unlawful. Some of these principles would be used if we talked about gambling or drug abuse or pornography or dancing. And we're going to use them tonight specifically in talking about body piercing and tattooing. I want you to turn to a good number of scriptures with me tonight. If you still have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which was our scripture reading for tonight, just so that we all remember, as we've studied this just recently, that our bodies are a temple of the Lord. And we are not our own, the Apostle Paul says, but we have been bought with a price. And that price, the Apostle Peter tells us, is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are not to do what we want to do with our bodies. We are not to adorn it just the way we want it to be adorned and what we think looks good. But there's someone else we must consider above ourselves, and that is God. How does God want us to adorn our bodies? How does He want us to dress and comb our hair and the jewelry that we would wear? And would God want us to have our body pierced? Would God want us to have tattoos that go back to paganism and Satanism and cannibalism and these types of things? Is that what God would want us to do? Well, we need to remember that our body is the Lord's temple. Turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about his body. And of course he is suspecting that it's not going to be that long before he dies. And a little bit after this, he is contemplating the fact that in one sense it would be better just to depart from this life and to be with the Lord. But in verse 20, Philippians 1:20, he said, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." As we make decisions in this life, and as we make decisions how to dress, you know, should we dress in such a way that we look like a gangster? Should we dress in such a way that we look like we're a mobster? Should we dress in such a way as perhaps a music star who is singing rap and is singing all types of vulgar, foul things? Should we dress in such a way as that? Does that glorify Jesus Christ? Of course not. And we would apply this then also to the things we're talking about tonight. If I dress in such a way, if a young lady were to dress in such a way that she was to look like one of the pop stars today, with very little on, with her midriff showing and with a belly button ring on and those types of things, and she's looking like someone who would be recording an album and is saying bad things and ugly things and is cursing and swearing and doing all of this, should I make myself look like that individual? Of course not. Should I, as a young man, wear my pants down, halfway down? You know, where all types of things are seen? Well, that's the popular thing. But should I do that as a Christian? Does that glorify Christ or does that glorify someone else? I think we all agree that that glorifies someone else. Well, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Indeed, these things are applicable to many decisions, young and old, that we must make. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and just sort of to get into things here, let's read verse 2. Here Paul is talking about the prayers that we would make. Verse 2, "For kings and all who are in authority, so that you may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." I don't know what you think about. If I look at the pop culture individuals who are out on the cutting edge of culture, who are the ones who are making the albums, they're swearing and they're cussing and they're denying the existence of God and they're cursing God why would I want to dress like them? Is that godly? Is that dignified? And why would I want to live such a life that is just so crazy like these gangster rap artists? And why would I want to dress like them, that my life is so crazy? Is that a tranquil and a quiet life? Certainly not. It's quite the opposite. But go to verse 10. Verse 10. Now here is talking about the women, but notice verse 9 says, Likewise, I want the women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness. Now this just isn't applicable to women alone. Men also must make a claim to godliness. Just because I'm a man, I cannot go around looking like I'm some wild, crazy person that hates God, that denies God. I can't do that. The women cannot do that, and I cannot do that either. We must profess godliness. When others look at us with the way we fix our hair, with the way we fix our clothes, with jewelry that we wear, that what we do with our ears or what may be on our body, these must profess godliness. These must say, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I am a godly person. What is godly? Godly is someone who is following after God to the very best of their ability, in human terms, is like God, has the characteristics of God. Do you think Jesus Christ, if He were here today, would have satanic tattoos all over Him? I'll talk about the cross tattoo in a minute. The cross tattoo dates back to sun worship, by the way. Do you think Jesus Christ would have a cross tattoo with a sun going around it of sun worship? Do you think He would have that? Of course He wouldn't. And so we shouldn't also. Other scriptures we can mention here, but let's move on. We must glorify God in our bodies. Also, we must be honorable and respectable in the presence of all men. Now, society has a little bit of something to do with this. You know, a couple of hundred years ago, the ladies wore their skirts all the way down to the dress and all the way up to the neck. It's not that way anymore. Society has a little something to do. That doesn't mean that society dictates our morals and the things that we think that are right and wrong, but the fact of the matter is, we as Christians must adorn ourselves in a way that's respectable to society in general. And let's look at the verse right here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Paul says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Let me ask you something. Does it matter what other people think? Does it matter what other people think? Of course it does. It matters what they think. I'm to profess godliness. Do they think, well, is this godly or not? Again, society is not dictating what is right and wrong, but we as Christians, we cannot be on the outer reaches of pop culture, where there's sin and where there's evil and all sorts of things are going on. That's not the image that we can betray. We must betray an image of godliness that is respectable to all men. And as we're talking about tattooing and body piercing, when one goes to get a job, you know, one learns very early on, if you're a man in this society men don't wear earrings until just recently. Young men, you go get a job at a bank or something, you better take that out of there. You won't get that job because that's not respectable in the sight of all men. Now, maybe 50 years from now in this culture it might be, but right now it isn't. And you better take that earring out if you have one in there, because that's not respectable in the sight of all men. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, turn your Bibles over there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, he's telling us here the things to think upon. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever that is honorable, to dress ourselves in a way that brings honor upon ourselves, upon our family, upon God most of all, Jesus Christ, we've talked about that, and upon the church, to present ourselves in an honorable way. What else? Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, are gangster rap artists worthy of praise? No, let's not dress like them. Let's not adorn ourselves like them. Are the young ladies who are out doing all sorts of vulgar things, recording albums and having concerts, is that worthy of praise? No, so let's not dress like them. Let's not act like them. Let's act and dress like Christians. So, we must glorify God in our bodies. We must do the things which are honorable and respectable. Also, we cannot engage in things which are lustful and licentious. Lust is a strong desire to sin. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Romans 6, 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts." So that you obey the lusts, the strong desires of sin. And you just look in our culture today, you can see those strong desires. You know, it used to be when I was growing up, those things which were sinful, that were hidden, that were done in the dark, a young person like me, I didn't ever see that stuff. You know, I didn't ever see it on TV. It wasn't on the movies. The few movies it might have been in when I was a real little boy and a little bit older, I mean, I couldn't get in until I was way, way, way up there. Now, I got to tell you, it's on the family channel, on cable TV. It's on the family channel. So young people, you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful not to get caught up in what's popular and what everybody else in the world is thinking is so good and all of this. And unfortunately, you're exposed to it much more than I ever was growing up. And so you have to be careful. Do not obey the lusts of sin. The strong desires to be in the pop culture, to be doing what the famous people are doing that don't respect God, don't love God, don't go to church, don't worship God, don't care about God, don't know the Bible. Don't be like those people. And I know it's hard not to be, but we must do our best and avoid that. 1 John 2:16, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world." Licentiousness is unbridled lust. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In the New American Standard, sometimes it's translated lewdness, lewd behavior, or sensual behavior. And let me give you that example again of the young pop star who's got hardly anything on, midriff showing, all kinds of other things showing, got the belly button ring, all that in. Lewd and sensual. That's what it's talking about. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, anger, tempers, disputes, slanders, gossips, arrogance, disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come again my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality or licentiousness." You see, these things that are being talked about, they're licentious. It's not containing oneself, not controlling oneself, but giving in to what the rest of the world is doing. And we cannot do that. We cannot give in to what the world is doing with all the lewd and sensual behavior. And it's just not in the 20th century. I'll tell you what, you go back and you read your history books back to the time of Christ and the apostles and to the Roman Empire. Let me tell you what, as bad as we are, we're not that bad. We are not that bad as those people were. Lewd and lascivious, but we must control ourselves. We must hold ourselves in. We can't just let ourselves go and be like everyone else. One more thing as we make these type decisions. As Christians, we cannot engage in questionable conduct. Now, some of the things as we get to the specifics tonight on this topic, I'm going to make the point over and over and over and over again. At best, it's questionable. At best, it's questionable. And when we talk about a lot of these things, and let's look at the Scriptures very quickly. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We talk about a lot of these types of things. You know, you can argue the point, and you can argue the point, and you can argue the point. You know, it gets down to the point sometimes when someone's arguing for social drinking. Is it all right if I take one, just one little, not even a swallow of liquor, and it comes down to this? Don't ever do anything questionable. That is questionable. You know, there would never be a drunk person. There would never be an alcoholic if they didn't take the first little bit. Never, never do anything questionable. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Now I want to tell you something about these topics of body piercing and tattooing. I know there's a lot of questions about it because I get some email about it. There's young people wanting to know about this. And also get some from some who have made the decision to go ahead and go and to do it and are pretty angry about it when, you know, I set forth the reasons that it's not the right thing to do. I also say you can also be forgiven and not the right thing to do. You can also be forgiven and you can do the right things and you can go to heaven. But let me tell you, I get the email about it from young folks who are really wanting to know. And so this is questionable. It's questionable because there's so many questions out there about that. I know that for a fact. One more scripture, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn your Bibles over there tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, the question comes with gambling, and Lord willing, sometime in the future I'll do a lesson on that. Comes about with gambling. And, you know, you talk about all the things that go along with that, and you talk about covetousness and greed and addiction and all of these things. And someone always comes up and says, well, is it a sin to buy one lottery ticket? Just one lottery ticket. Just one. That's it for the rest of your life. None of these other things have anything to do with it. Just buy one. And I always come to this scripture right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form of evil. One thing that says is that Christians are never to get close to anything that looks like evil. It doesn't even look like it. You know, somebody may say, well, you know, I'm not engaging in that. Say, I'm not doing that. I get the question sometimes, is it all right to go to a casino if I don't gamble? So, is it all right to go to a casino if I don't gamble? You mean, is it okay to go to a place where the ladies don't have on enough clothes, where people are drinking, getting drunk, where families are being torn apart, sin is everywhere? Is it all right for you to go if you don't participate? The answer is no. The answer is no. Avoid every form of it. Stay away from it. Don't even get close to it. Is it all right to look like a gangster rapper if I'm not rapping? The answer is no. Stay away from it. Don't get close to it. Is it all right to look like one of these young ladies who's dressed in such and such a way as I've already described several times tonight? But I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not out there doing the song. I'm not singing the songs. I just look like them. The answer is no. Not even to look like it. Stay away from every form of it. We as Christians have to have a loud message. We are godly. We are Christians. We are as God would have us to be, so that there's no doubt about that. That's what God wants from us. That's the way God wants us to be in all of the things which we do. Well, let's talk about some application here. Let's talk about some discreet body piercings. These would be the pierced ears with the females. You may want to consider with the men in other cultures. It's the norm. In this culture, it's not been the norm for very long, and it may become the norm before long. And these in society is not considered to be evil. This is not associated with evil in any way. These are associated with godliness. All the way back through the Old Testament, as we've already seen these discreet piercings. But you read through the Old Testament also, even a harlot could put on bracelets, and wearing the bracelets and jingle-jangling the bracelets would be a sin. Is there anything wrong with a bracelet? Well, nothing's wrong with a bracelet. It's what you're doing with it while you have it on. That's what the sin was. And the same thing would be with these very discreet piercings. Nothing wrong with them at all. From the Old Testament forward, nothing wrong with them at all. How about the wanton or the licentious body piercings? broad section of our society believes that these are wrong. They are associated with evil. They are associated with godlessness. They are associated with sin. They are associated with the pop culture of stars and with Hollywood, and the message that it sends is that of godlessness. Because of its sinful connotations, it at best is questionable. And personally, I don't even think it's questionable. I think it's more than questionable. But at best, I don't think anyone can argue away the point that at best, to have other such licentious body piercings, at very best, is questionable, and Christians ought to stay away from it. How about tattooing? Tattooing became popular in this country in the early part of the 20th century, first among military personnel, and commonly reflected a carousing lifestyle later in gang members and rappers and other celebrities, and they embraced the tattoo sign as to give a sign or as a sign of a licentious lifestyle. Because of these connotations, Christians cannot be associated with them, and they must abstain from them. And I'll just give you one quick example. I searched the internet to find some examples to put on here, and you know what? After searching and searching and searching, I finally concluded that I couldn't even put them up here. That'd be just totally unacceptable. So at best, very best, questionable, and I believe more than even questionable. But let's get into some of the questions that often come up. Is the cross tattoo godly? Is it all right to have a cross tattoo? Many young people have written me and they believe that the cross tattoos are okay today and that they're emblematic of Christ. Well, I just ask you to do some research on that if you ever think about it, and you'll find that the cross tattoo goes back to paganism before the time of Christ. As a matter of fact, it does not reflect Christ. It reflects the enemies of Christ. That's what it reflects, the cross tattoo. Many meanings are behind the tattoo today, and the tattoo is skewed in so many ways, whether it be the cross tattoo and those associated with sun worship or some other type of paganism. And the fact of the matter is, it gets down to the point, a lot of times, the only person that knows what that tattoo means is the person wearing it. I mean, when you see a cross tattoo and you see a dragon there, what do you think it means? You think it means Jesus Christ? I don't think it means Jesus Christ. You ask the person what it means. Sometimes the person wearing it may not even know what it means. The person putting it on may not know what it means. It means whatever you want it to mean, basically, is what it means. But what is the message that it sends other people? It's not a good message, in my humble opinion. How about the tattoos that can't be seen? Sometimes I'm asked about this. My first response is, did someone put it there? So it is seen by somebody. My second response is, don't you see it? That's another person it's seen by. And then it's seen by the people who are close to you. If you're ever married, it's seen by that person also. And to all of those people, even though it may be only those three people, which is not going to be the case, because you probably, like me, have seen those little tattoos that have been hidden that people don't think anybody's going to see, but it always seems to be. Every once in a while, there it is. You see it right there. It sends the wrong message, and it is seen. Even if it was not seen by anyone but the person who put it there, myself and my spouse, that's three people it sent the wrong message to, and it sends the wrong message to me every day. Is that a good message sent to me of godliness? No, I don't believe that it is. It's not sending the right message to myself. Well, I'm also asked about the fake piercings and the fake tattoos. These have become popular over the last few years, and you know they're sold in the schools, and it might be the mascot of the school, and the kids will put them on, and they go to the ball game, and they all cheer, and all of this. And personally, I equate that to a toy. Now, you may not think that would be a very good toy, and you wouldn't want to have your kids associated with that. Personally, I don't think there's anything bad associated with that. You know, it might be just a school mascot or something like that. It goes on Friday. It might come off Saturday. Before one goes to church, it's off and it's gone. And it was just a thing of school spirit. As far as I know, nobody thinks anything bad about that. It's not got any bad connotations at all. I personally don't have a problem with that. But if you do, please definitely avoid it. There's also these henna tattoos that have come about. And I don't know if you know about them, but, you know, an artist will put those on there, and they look like real tattoos and everything without the pain. And they last for a while, you know, a good while, and eventually they go away. But, you know, to me, when you look at it, it sends the same message as the real tattoo, because it looks like a real tattoo. It's in the same places as a real tattoo. It doesn't look like one of those scratch-on jobs, because it's not, that the kids may put on before a ball game or something like that. It looks like the real thing. It sends the same message, whether it's real or whether it's one that's there for a few weeks and it's gone. Sends the same message to other people and to yourself. And I personally don't think that those would be the right thing to be doing. At best, body piercing and tattoo is questionable. Someone may say, you know, but culture is changing. And, you know, it doesn't have the stigma. It doesn't have all the negative connotations as it did before. I got to tell you something. Do some research and get on the internet, and you're going to find out something totally different. When you start looking at all the things involved, I tell you what, it's almost pornographic to look at the models wearing the things. And we'll tell you that right now. You know, I went and I was researching this, and I've researched it several times because I've had information out available to people for some time. I went out and I researched it all again. It's almost pornographic to just look at the models wearing the tattoos because of where they're at. And at the very best, is questionable. Therefore, Christians should stay away from these things. Well, there's just a few things I want to mention in the way of practical advice. And I want the young folks, I want all of us to think about this. Disease often results from tattoos and body piercings. There is a man in Monticello, Florida. I won't mention his name because this will go out on the internet. But he's probably in his 30s. And he became a Christian just a few years ago. And life was really, really good for him. Man became a Christian, and his wife became a Christian, had a young family, and things were going really good. And he came up pretty rough. You know, he first became a Christian, he had a ponytail. He doesn't have a ponytail anymore. And he had tattoos on his body. And again, he could be saved. He can go to heaven like anybody else. Absolutely. No question about that. But he has hepatitis as a result of that. And you talk about somebody who's sick. I mean, this guy's sick. He's about lost his business. You know, it's been days and weeks when he couldn't work, when he's taken all kinds of therapy. I'll tell you the truth, and I know he would not mind if I told you this. There's been more than one time he's wanted to just take his life and get it over with, but he's a Christian, and he knows he can't do that. And life has been so bad for him, and they figure he got it either from a bad needle or some bad ink. Bad needle or a bad ink from his younger days. Disease often comes with these things. You know what? I was talking with a person, it's been some time ago, who had one of these tongue piercings. And you know, I said, man, that's got to hurt to get your tongue pierced like that. You know, and the lady told me, she said, you know, there's a major vein up there. And before you go and you do that, you got a sign that if he accidentally nicks that vein and you die, that you're not going to hold him accountable. I mean, I'm not going to let anybody touch me when I can die like that. I mean, that's not even a surgery room, you know. That's not even with a doctor. I'm not going to let anybody touch me do that. Oftentimes, disease results. Some of the diseases, AIDS, from getting a tattoo or body piercing, AIDS, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, tetanus, syphilis, tuberculosis, and just basically any blood-borne disease, you can get it by going through this. There was a study made by a doctor, the doctors were at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School in Dallas, found that commercial tattoos may be the number one distributor of hepatitis C, number one. They found that commercially acquired tattoos accounted for more than twice as many hepatitis C infections as injection drug use. Let me rephrase that. People got twice as sick from tattoos as shooting up with drugs. Twice as sick with hepatitis from tattoos than shooting up drugs. Also, they found that people who get tattooed in a commercial tattoo parlor, we're not talking about some garage thing necessarily, we're talking about commercial deal, were 9 times more likely to get hepatitis C than someone who was not tattooed. 9 times more likely to get it because you went to a commercial tattoo parlor, probably regulated by the state. 9 times greater of getting hepatitis C from that. When we talk about tattoos, this is a very serious thing, and especially as I started getting questions from young people. Now, I get a lot of questions from young people on some very delicate issues, I guess because I'm safe, you know. I'm on a computer, and you click through, you send an email to somebody. I don't know them. They don't know me. They can ask somebody. So I get a lot of questions on a lot of different things. I get one on this right here. And this is one of the things I tell, as I go out and I try, and I investigate these things. And I know some brethren who in their young age got tattoos, and now they're very old, maybe in their 70s or 80s. And I talk to them about this. And I tell the young people, I say, find someone who's very old, 70 or 80, whatever. And go talk to them about that. Ask them about it. And ask to look at their tattoo. And have you ever seen anyone 70 or 80 years old that had a good-looking tattoo? No. What happens? The skin gets wrinkly and it's not got that nice muscular tone to it anymore. And they don't look good. And they fade. And you know what? A lot of older folks you talk to, and I've got a few little quotes here in a minute, even from some young people, wish they didn't have that. They wish they didn't have it. It just does not look the same that it used to do. Talk to the older people about these things. Ask that older person, if you had it to do all over again, would you do it? Many of them, and I would go on and say most of them, are going to tell you no. They wouldn't have it done again after they've had it all of these years. With body piercings, you know, body piercings is a pretty new thing in this country, as far as I know of. But I tell you what, young folks, watch National Geographic and make sure you do it with your parents because some of it's pretty bad. But watch with these third world nations. Every once in a while, I like to pull up on this one. It's about this tribal stuff. Third world nations, they got this body piercing stuff. You know, some of the ladies have these big discs in their, you know, in their lips, and their lipstick way out here like this. And you'll see them without that disc in there sometimes. Oh, man, it is so terribly bad. You know, and you see people have got things pierced all over the place, and you see what it's like after you've had that there for 40 years or something, and your body is just, I mean, it's just ugly. It's just ugly. So talk to others about it. Look at these things. Try to gain experience from others who have done these things. Body piercings and tattoos. Tattoos, really, to address here, are permanent. Before you do anything that's permanent to your body, make sure it's something you can live with. You know, young folks, look at pictures of your parents and of your grandparents. I like doing this. And you know, you look at my parents and oh man, when they were young and just getting married 50 years ago, you know, the styles back then, you know, they looked pretty funny, didn't they? You know, they looked funny, and their glasses were funny, and their glasses were big, and the hairstyles were funny, you know, the way they were in a big poofy thing like this, and the dresses were funny and everything. You know, once you get a tattoo that's today's style, it's going to be out of style before long. And it's going to look like the big glasses, and it's going to look like the poofy hair, and it's going to be looking like the crazy dresses that nobody would want to wear today, and all this. But you know what? You're stuck with it the rest of your life. It's no getting away. No getting away from it. You're stuck. It's like being stuck in years and years and years back, and you can't get out because it's a permanent type situation. Ask your parents how they would feel if they had to wear those styles for the rest of their life. In Thomasville, Georgia, November 30th, 2003, a story appeared. And the name of the story, it's an AP article, said, "Doctors say tattoo removal is becoming more common." Now, you would think that because there's been a lot of young folks over the last maybe 10 or 15, 20, 25 years just really been rushing. You know, when I was growing up, it wasn't a big deal. You didn't see young folks with it. So it's this generation right here, the generation after me. It's like my kids are the ones really having to deal with it. But you know what? Some of those kids are getting to be like 23 years old, and they're saying, "Man, I don't like this." Now, let me just tell you some of what was recorded here at 23, Alex Baker figures it's time to get rid of the spider on her. Alexandra Baker figures it's time to get rid of the spider on her ankle. She says, "I can't stand having them anymore." She said, it's just not what I want to portray myself as anymore. 23 years old. And it was cool when she was young, growing up. 23 years old, she's wanting to become an adult, do adult things, be taken serious in life. And she said, man, I don't even want those things anymore. It's more and more so that those who are younger want to have those removed. Professionals, from artists who create tattoos to doctors who remove them, say the best strategy is not to get ill-considered tattoos in the first place. Even though care professionals are trying to develop new methods of tattoo removal currently, they do not have a method that will totally remove a tattoo. And you probably already know that some of those methods are very painful, very, very painful, but they still don't get rid of it all the way. You still have some semblance of it there. Well, again, we can all be saved and go to heaven. And I'm not speaking tonight to those perhaps who have made the decision to do such things with their bodies, but I'm talking to the young people tonight. And it's not something that we as Christians should involve ourselves with. We are to glorify God in our bodies. We are only to do the things that are honorable and respectable in the sight of men. We shouldn't engage in lustful and licentious behaviors. We shouldn't dress up or pretend to be some gangster dude or some Hollywood artist or something like that. Those people who deny God and curse God, we don't need to adorn ourselves in such a way as that. And we should never engage in anything which is questionable. And let me suggest to you tonight, at the very best, these things, tattooing and body piercing, are very, very questionable. And I would say even more than questionable. And it's something that Christians should stay away from. It's not something that professes godliness. It's not something that tells others that we are a Christian. It's not the message we want to send out. And so I would wholeheartedly warn you and exhort you to stay away from those things. Tonight we're going to extend the gospel invitation, number 268. This is the great and the wonderful thing about God. No matter who we are and what we are and what we've done in the past, we can all be saved. And just like the young man I told you about in Monticello, from his very rough life as he grew up, yes, he has a lot of problems he has to deal with as a result of that, but he can still be saved and he can still go to heaven. And so we're going to extend the gospel invitation tonight. If you're not a Christian, we want you to think about becoming one. We'd love nothing more than you to become a Christian tonight and be saved, so that you could go to heaven and we would see you there. If we can be assistance to you at all this evening in any way, and subject to the gospel invitation, won't you come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.